This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not contain or replace your own financial, tax, legal, or financial product advice.
Hello, Australia. Welcome to My Millennial Money. I'm Glenn James. That is
John Pigeon.
And today we're doing a chat about small business with a partner. It's also a family member. Could it be any more crazy? I'm not sure.
Rough.
Welcome, Chris Gleason, Ben Gleason, Glee Coffee Roasters. Thanks for coming on today.
Welcome, lads.
Thanks for having us, fellas.
Good to be here.
Now, we're going to have a bit of a deep dive under the hood of their business that they've built over many years, how they work with each other, how they work with staff, how they work with employing family members.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited for this episode. But before we get into it, I want to highlight the Walking on Sunshine, would you call it a roast?
Yeah,
it's a blend. A blend. It took out the Golden Bean Award 2019, the world's largest coffee roasting competition, possibly holding the best roast in the world.
In the world.
The best blend in the world.
Yeah. You kind of are.
It's unbelievable, but, boys. Yeah.
So, this is wild. So, quickly, Ben, tell us a little bit about this blend, how it came about.
Yep.
And, you know, this is not a infomercial, it feels like one, but they haven't paid to come on. It's not a sponsored episode. I'm genuinely excited about this. Mm. And tell us about this.
Yeah. Well, the feedback on it has been amazing. How we came up with it, basically that is a combination of two of my favorite coffees. And I was working with our head roaster, getting ready for competition. And we were sort of coming up with a few, you know, you sit in a room and you play around with all different flavors with coffees. And I sat across the table and I said to him, I said, what if we combined this one and this one?
I think I said no.
I don't know if
I was like, no. And then you're like,
No, this is going to work.
We're doing it then.
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
It's kind of like the old El Paso ad where they go, oh, what if you know, have a flat taco or whatever? we go, like, what if we just combine these two? They're going to work. They're both incredible. Like, mm-hmm. It's interesting. What if they have a baby, you know? And that's what we did. Put them together, and when we tasted it, we just like, mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, we found something. From when we first tasted it, I knew we had something special.
And I guess the testing, when they're judging the awards, and there could be like 2,000 or more roasters that enter these awards around the world. It's a blind taste.
Yeah.
So they don't know who the roaster is. Mm-hmm. So it's just beans in a pot or whatever your lingo is.
They're calibrated as well.
And they do it more than once.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So any scores in a Golden Bean competition that score over, say, a 34, they're on a scale of 1 to 40, your coffees. But anything that scores over a 34 will get put back into the judging room. So normally there's about 200 people judging a competition at any given time. That will go in again to see whether it actually was a one-off. You know, or where that stands. And if it...
A false positive, if you will.
Exactly right. And if there is a discrepancy, 100%. Then it will go to a head judging table. Once again, still blind, but what are you know, what do you score this?
Right.
As a head judge.
How many competitors do you reckon?
The Southern Hemisphere was close to 2,000 and over in the North Americas, so like the, you know, your Northern Hemisphere, I think there was 1,500. So,
yeah, wow.
Yeah. About 4,000 roasters.
So, and I guess the unique thing about this blend, Ben, is it was traditionally made as an espresso-based blend.
Yeah.
But it also won the bronze in filter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it won gold in milk. So really? It scored a 30. So this coffee scored a 38, which is no other coffee's done that in the history of the competition.
Wow.
But the cool thing about that is it actually scored a 38 in two categories.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
because you've got the opportunity to submit a different coffee for each category.
So that one, so it's the highest scoring coffee in the history of the comp, which is, I think, going on 15 years. And it's also done it in two categories and the two main categories.
So given it's such a versatile coffee, I want to give all our listeners the chance to get this before the end of June.
Yeah. If you love coffee, you've got to taste it.
If you love coffee, you've got to taste it. And if you're watching on YouTube, at the end of this episode, we're going to film, we'll just maybe get Chris or one of you to actually show us how you do the perfect filter at home. And we'll film that up. We might put that on in the Facebook group by itself. And if you want to jump onto gleecoffee.com.au, use the promo code MMM. You'll get this at over a 25% discount.
Yeah.
Just for M3 listeners.
Yep.
Promo code MMM until the 30th of June.
That's it.
So if you are listening,
get on it, people.
After June 2020, you're going to have to use the old code M3.
Yep.
And you're only get 15% off.
Everything. Correct.
Everything.
All coffee, every coffee.
So
either way, it's the world's best.
Yes.
Yeah. Check out gleecoffee.com.au and promo code MMM. Now, to the crux of it, what is the absolute advantage of being in partnership?
Yeah.
And what's the absolute advantage being in family partnership? And then what's the disadvantages and struggles?
All right.
You go with the advantages.
Okay.
Advantage Federer.
All right. Yeah. Oh, that's great. You know, the advantages for us is that it's family. So, you know, we have a vested interest in each other to do well. And so you've got each other's back. At the end of the day, you know, if you need something to get done, your family's not going to leave you high and dry. At least ours isn't. So that's been an advantage for us is that, you know, you can really dig in. You can ask your family to do some things probably for you that other staff are not going to do. You know, you ask them to go the extra mile. So Chris and I have had to do that over the years for each other for numerous reasons.
Yeah.
So advantages definitely is that is, you know, you can rely on your family when you need to.
Challenges?
Yeah. I've got one advantage as well. The advantage would be is that, you know, life throws curveballs at you, you know, in all different ways. And as a business owner, a lot of the time you find yourself on your own.
Mm.
And so to know that your business partner is more than that has been there for each of us in different seasons. You know, when Ben's been through a tough season, when I've had meltdowns or whatever, like actually there's always been the responsibility of the business, but to know that that's shared with someone that you trust, that has been priceless for us. And what, with 10, 11 years later, we're still enjoying business together.
And we still talk to each other.
We still talk to each other.
And it's interesting as well because Ben went through cancer.
Yeah.
And, you know, the business went on because family stepped in.
Oh, absolutely.
And got it. Mm. And then in recent years with Chris's daughter, had some major heart surgery.
Yep.
And, you know, Chris and Beth were MIA for a good couple of months. Like, literally, who cares about the business? We've got a life or death situation.
Absolutely.
So business went on. So,
yes.
100%.
What I also, not knowing you extremely well and just meeting you today, Chris, for the first time, I look at you and think, these guys are actually best mates. I don't necessarily see brothers there. Like, obviously, you are, but I think you're very close in your relationship. Would you agree?
Yeah, and that's probably one of the challenges
has
been is Ben and I have had shared interests since as early as I can remember.
Yeah.
So we've always shared interests around sports, similar personalities in some ways, but with some stark differences. And so, like, I was into basketball, Ben got into basketball, and he's my big brother, and, like, there's that, you know, I've always aspired to – you know, be like your older sibling.
Hello.
And so we end up kind of doing a lot of similar things.
Yeah.
Sometimes with a different twist, you know, like absolutely. I was, you know, maybe I was better at defense and Ben was better at offense, you know, like who knows, but
well, we find overall
that's a great story. But no.
We end up in, Ben's always had a great jump shot.
Yeah.
And so, but we end up in all in our, we end up in all these different fields at the same time. You know, we've also grown up in church. We've also been close together in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And then at times it hasn't felt like best mates.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of the challenges.
Yeah. And if I could probably jump in, I can probably speak as an example. Like for me personally, there's maybe only a few people in the world know if I'm going through a hard time. Mm. Like, because I can mask things pretty well, but Chris will know in an instance me. Like, it's weird. But I guess with the business, because I don't have a life and I always come up there and hang out and drink coffee, knowing the different personalities, so we've all got our things and we know, Chris, sometimes you can have a short fuse.
What?
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Okay.
So this is crap.
Okay. So, and just as an example, Ben, you know intimate parts of Chris that if you're both having a bad week and you're not happy, you know what buttons to push.
Oh, yeah.
And you actually don't care if the fuse goes off because whatever, it'll get done and I don't care if I piss him off.
Yeah.
So how do you manage that? But also, how do you manage that when there's people that you employ in the same building that aren't family?
Well, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, this might sound a little cheesy, but there's always an underpin relationship and respect. So even though, so a lot of the time, if I do know Chris is going through a tough time, and it's only happened, like I tell people, like Chris and I have Barneys, but it's pretty rare. Like we might have one a year, right? So that's 10 in the time that we've been in business together. But when we do, we have some good honest talks.
Yeah.
But you know, under all of that, we care about each other.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really helped, you know. So the times that, you know, that I've had to have some serious chats with Chris, has always been, you know, I care about you.
Yeah.
And normally we're wanting to know what's going, like what's causing the reason, not so much, oh, you're doing this. It's like, what's happening? Like, you know, if you've got a short fuse at the moment, like, are you okay? And what can we do to help, you know, help you with that?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, and we were talking off air about Michael Jordan and The Last Dance doco. And his
love that.
His
so good.
His teammates were like, wow, he's hard on us. He's sets such a high standard, but we know underneath that it's for the best results for the team. And if he didn't do that, we wouldn't have reached these heights. Very similar to what you're saying, Ben, is that like, well, okay, we know our best interests are there, and whether you're annoying me or not, it's we've got the same vision for this business.
And we've had conversations like that, haven't we? So huge we go, ones. At the end of the day, we want what's best. What's best is sometimes up for debate and up for question.
Mm. Has it ever been, this is actually best commercially, I don't actually care if your feelings are hurt?
Sure.
Because you'll get over it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And I guess that's sometimes
which you might not do that if it's not family.
Yeah.
True. I mean, no, I think at times that would be more a commercial strategy.
Yeah.
Is to insult. It's difficult to insult your family's feelings because there's a second result. There's a, you know, we go, business sucks, right? And you know what it's like coming back from a bad day work.
Yeah.
Mm. Normally it leads to not a great home environment.
Mm. Yeah.
And so when it's big business decisions and you go, I'm going to hurt your feelings.
And by the way, we've got old mate's birthday tonight and we'll see you there.
See you there.
Yeah. Right? It's just, like,
you can't just flick a switch with family and be like, what you said to me at work didn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so it you do kind of, I think you actually do weigh your words and weigh your choices more. You kind of feel like at times you are walking on eggshells because family is strong, but it also has a fragility about it as well. And so trying to weigh that is not easy. I mean, like we actually employed one of our brothers as well.
Yeah, let's talk about him. I mean, that situation.
But no, so, I remember one story. It was like this, like where I had a Barney with Nick. Nick's our brother, and Nick was actually there in one of the most crucial seasons when Ben wasn't well. Nick actually volunteered in his own time. Like to actually learn how to roast coffee while Ben wasn't well and I was busy running everything else in our company. I was like, what the heck is going on?
I mean, he ended up sticking with us for, what, 7 years?
Yeah, wow.
So it's pretty amazing.
But being three brothers in the same room and when you're talking about production, you're talking about creativity, like this is how I do it, this is what I taste, this is, and I'm talking about deadlines, this is when I need this done by and this is the time frame. It's a recipe for an explosion.
And it's a very different dynamic when it's, like, you know, we're business partners, but with Nico, like, he's an employee, you know, but he's still family.
Yeah.
So it's like, and he's valuable.
Yeah. Like, you know? You're like, we're your boss.
Yeah.
So we've got to tell you what to do sometimes.
So, how do you,
it's a funny dynamic.
And with personalities, I don't think I would be, you know, talking out of school. So, for example, if you did have a brother who was a roaster.
Yeah.
And there was an issue at work or an issue at home. That brother is going to tell you that second if he doesn't like something or if he's got a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes.
How do you manage that with – and because I guess I want to – before you answer that, the reason we're doing this episode is if you do have a business idea, I'm probably pretty agnostic on the whole partnership thing. Mm. I'm probably more keen on it if there's two people, one's good at one thing, one's good at other, they complement, there's agreements and all that. I don't like just let's do a partnership because we're mates and we want to, you know, build fences or whatever on the weekend. So I just want people to learn to understand more before they just fall into something.
Well, I always warn people about partnerships when guys come to me because they go, oh, you've done it. And we have. And what you've heard is that Chris and I have gotten on for a long time before that.
Mm.
It's family. It's a partnership. And it's still not easy.
Mm.
You know, so with all of that, it's still not always easy. It's something that we've had to learn to navigate and get good at.
Mm.
You know, so a partnership of two, okay, that's got a chance. A lot of the time I see partnerships with more than two, that becomes really volatile. That can become very toxic.
So back to having family members employed when there's an issue in the business and it goes the other way. It's like if you've got a staff member that also is your brother and you've got a problem with that staff member, you're going to tell him as the brother, not as the staff member. So
it's tricky.
It works both
sometimes.
Ways. Sometimes.
And so, I mean, like for me, I didn't get this. I didn't get this right very often. It's been actually, it was a real challenge for Nico and I at times. And
Nick's older than you as well.
I'm the youngest. Yeah. But I'm also in my temperament, I'm probably the most structured in terms of this is, these are the deadlines, these are the timeframes. Yeah. So I work more on the analytical side in our business and more less on the creative side. But with the coffee roasting thing, we're creative about a product, but we need to deliver it in timeframes and we also need to run our business to percentages and all these kind of things. And trying to navigate that without really, for me, even like real business education or anything like that is, it's the Wild West.
Mm.
And you've got your brother who's actually like your best mate, like in there, and you're trying to challenge that. And to be honest, I didn't say things, you know, you'd say that straight away. Actually, probably the time I actually said it was probably the sixth or seventh time I'd thought it.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
it was well rehearsed in your head.
It was well rehearsed in my head, but it wasn't.
And it normally wasn't delivered the fair. Best because
yeah.
it was.
Yeah, because it was stewed there.
Yeah.
It wasn't fair on Nico all the time as well for me to do that because it was like trust is being honest on the spot.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And we've had to learn that.
The hard way where I go, I want to tell you this, but I'm not sure how you'll respond. And so I'm going to wait.
I feel like this is like an American counseling. TV show. Yeah. It's like, Nico, if you're out there,
put your hand on the screen.
Yeah. What would you say to Nico if he was watching?
Yeah.
Come home, Nico.
Nico is right. watching. So. Yeah.
And you, I was thinking of different things, more like Jerry Springer. We've like, Nick's actually in the other room. We're bringing Nick in.
Here he comes.
Oh, we need to
Jerry.
Do that.
Yeah.
Jerry. Oh. All right. So if you've like, if you're listening here saying, yeah, I've got this business idea. I'm just about to launch my business and I want my brother or my sister to come in because I think they bring a different level of experience to it or a different trait. What would you say the three go-tos that you would pin your hat on in terms of if you're going to work together within a family environment, what would you do?
Well, clear is kind, right? So know where you're headed. Ben and I had this thought, probably after the first year when it was tough.
Yeah.
And he said to me, you know, if you want to, I think he was giving the advice to someone else. And he said, and I was thought about it for us. He said, if you want to go into partnership with someone, he said, you know, lock yourselves in separate rooms for 5 hours and write out a business plan and a business vision and model. And if you come back with two different concepts, give up on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like don't go there because
you probably shouldn't
go into partnership. Yeah. Do your idea, let them do theirs. And for us, I think family can be forgiving in that space. I think the reason our business has worked on a slow burn versus a quick, like we started 11 years ago and we won a medal last year, you know, like, and we're now running a really, running a good operation, a great company, but it didn't happen in 2 years or 3 years. No. And I actually think that was because we were figuring out what's Ben good at and what am I good at. If that was clear at the beginning, we may not have done it and I would have been sad in hindsight, but we also may have gone into there a bit clearer.
Well, definitely. It's taken time for us to find that.
What are your current, I guess, roles in the business and how has that changed over time? Because I guess what I'm hearing is, it's been 11 years or 12 years. Okay, now we actually know what we
and it's
what track we want to run in.
And that's pretty fair.
And when did you realize that?
Only a couple of years back, I would say, maybe, you know, going back maybe 4 years, we really started to look at what our lanes were and what we were best at. Because when you start out, and people in a startup and a hustle would know this, is you got to be good at everything.
Yeah.
You know, so you're doing a bit of this, a bit of that. So Chris and I were doing a bit of everything, right?
Bit of sales, at the beginning. Bit of yeah. roasting.
Like you're roasting, delivery. I'm roasting. You know, I'm training, you're training. You're doing the books, I'm doing the books. We're taking money. You know, like.
Yeah. You're taking money?
Yeah,
from the business.
Like, well, yeah, that was probably a long time later, right?
Yeah.
Another thing with your startup, it takes time to make some money.
Yeah. That's right.
Have a good garage to live in.
Yeah,
exactly. Have some good friends, and anyway, you know, so that whole thing definitely took time to define, like, you know, what's Chris good at, what am I good at, and I think luckily we're actually good at different things that are complementary. And so we've learned to figure that out. So in terms of what are we doing? You know, my lane is the creative vision and direction of the business. Plus, my taste buds, like I'm a...
he's a super taster.
I'm a super taster.
You didn't want to say it. I know you didn't want to say it. I'm saying it for you. This guy can taste a freight train 10 right. miles away.
Yeah, really?
Right.
Yeah.
So
you don't go and visit 7-Eleven often for dollar coffee. Yeah.
So for me, being able to do that creative stuff in the business and you know, I love getting my head around marketing and all that kind of thing. That's, you know, those creative sides.
The vision and
just what, like the feel, you know, how does the company feel is always been something that I've been very passionate about. But what I'm not great at is analytics, which Chris is, you know, so looking at, are we making enough money? You know, like, are we making sure our suppliers are being looked after and are we making sure our staff are being taken care of? Because I'm very happy and friendly with them. And Chris can sometimes come across as a bit of the bad guy in these scenarios, but if he wasn't...
I do have a mean customer service side. I'm good at it. I'm good at customer service.
Yeah, you do.
But if you work for me, you're not my customer.
Yeah.
I'm yours.
So he can be a bit grumpy. I can be a bit too bit too soft. But too but kind. Together we kind of make that work.
Yeah, and you mentioned it before. Like, you're coming in from different directions with different strengths. And I think you mentioned lucky. I don't think it's luck. I think the fact is, if you were both the same, the business model wouldn't be as successful as what it is today.
If there was two of me, it wouldn't be the same. And probably the same with Chris.
That's the same. And I think, like, for me, it's like I had to change the whole thing. It's like, as much as your family, it's really easy to still compare yourself. It's actually, you know, if you're comparing like photographs of you through time, you're looking at wrinkles are popping up. You're looking at these things change. You're looking at less hair, all those things. And when it comes to someone that's really similar to you, and you do have that comparison thing, and maybe that's a younger brother thing more so, but I had to learn that what I was good at, if it was different to Ben, that didn't make it negative.
No.
And that's just maturity, you know? And so that took me a long time. And there was, I think it was probably more of a learning curve for me than it was for Ben, in terms of Ben's known who he is for a long time.
Yeah.
And I like, 6 years is the big difference when I'm 22 and Ben's, you know, 28, whatever it was.
That's good maths.
Like, great maths. And so I had a bit of maturing to doing that and be comfortable with my lane. And so, yeah, like for me, like I would find myself always going back to the mathematics of the business and also how do we take care of staff? How do we do those kind of things, like more like in a way that we're taken care of too, all those kind of things. I find myself there and as much as I love the product, like, and my thing was for us, how do we turn this into a business model that takes us forward, takes our families forward.
Yep.
I'd seen, you know, my goal for our business is for us to both do really well and at the same time to make a lot of friends along the way and, you know, work with some great cafes and some great people.
It's a passion.
And
so I just want to move to business structure, strategy, where you're at now.
Yeah.
We'll forget about your retail store operations because you've got, you know, the Glee Coffee as the cafes, multiple locations. But back to the wholesale business of roasting.
Yeah.
Let's first start with day-to-day. Talk to us about the operational side and how you're both now transitioning to more of a high level strategy as opposed to in the trenches every day working in the business, you know.
This has been huge for us.
Yeah.
Because when you start up, like we would have a start time, please arrive at work at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, whatever it was, together. And I would be there and Ben would be there. And some days I'd be late, you know, or those kind of things. And you judge each other on this operational level yeah. and you yeah. and your contribution is almost completely practical.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah. am I yeah. bagging bums beans, bums yeah. on seats, those are things. Yeah. You know, are you pulling your weight? Are you yeah. letting the team down, which is yeah. just us?
Yeah.
Now that's changed and we, you know, it's the classic cliche of you got to work on your business, not mm. in it. And so we've now moved to a point where we've had to get the right people that are really good at running the day-to-day of our business
yeah.
in there. And so we've got a great guy, Justin Smith, who yeah. Has worked in our company for probably 9.5 years.
He's getting close to long service.
Yeah. In almost every area.
About time to make him redundant, eh?
Yeah. Move him on.
Just get him out of there.
You know, time for a new career, Justin. Yeah. No, actually, with us, his career is just starting, you know, yeah. in terms of the way that he owns his job. And so, look, we had to also change our perspective of each other and, yeah. and go like, well, you won't see me around the office as much because yeah. if I'm around the office and around the warehouse, guess who's in charge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I am, yeah. not Justin. And yeah. if Ben's yeah. around all the time, who's in charge? Ben yeah. is, not Justin. We've had yeah. to make space for our staff to actually grow into their career.
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
yeah. And also then for us to not become manic obsessives about every little detail and enjoy yeah. life.
Because realistically, Chris and Ben do not need to be in the warehouse for coffee to be roasted, bagged, shipped,
yeah,
and done really well.
It all happens.
We love being there.
Yes.
Yeah. We love being there, but
you don't.
But there's times when we're not.
Yeah.
And it all happens, and it happens well, which is great.
And it has to happen because for us, we've seen it in our own life. Life's unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And so something can happen. You can get thrown a curveball.
So did it. Okay. So just on that. So we know that the cancer thing for you, Ben,
yeah.
you had it was a big thing for you personally, obviously.
Yeah.
And it at the time would have changed your outlook on things.
Yeah.
In recent times with River's heart issues and, you know, going through that wild time. And at the time of recording, Chris's wife, Beth, is pregnant with twins. So life. That's why I wanted to get Chris here. Pregnant. We had to do this episode before Chris checked out.
More loss
I'm checking
of hair.
In. He's checking I'm in. Checking into like something really crazy.
So Chris has had a life perspective check as well.
100%.
So around that time, did that have influence of like, what am I doing day to day in this business? We've got staff. We've got a good team. Mm. We need to then change our strategic thinking almost.
Yeah. Well, you know what? A lot of people say it's hard to let go. You know, like you got to learn to let go like when you start as a business. I don't know if I've ever struggled to let go entirely, but getting the balance right, you know, because you don't want to let go completely.
No, it's your baby.
It is. And sometimes you can take that approach where you go, you guys just take it, you do it. And that's not necessarily a good thing. So, but I would say we just hold it a lot more loosely now, you know, and where we do focus and we do hold on is the space where we need to be. Mm. You know?
So without knowing your business model, I think what I'm hearing is Justin's been there 9 years.
Yeah.
He knows the culture, he knows the systems, or you've created a system that works. He was probably chomping at the bit to take the reins and say, yeah, boys, 100%. Get out of here.
Yeah, pretty much. And that does happen sometimes where he's like, hey, I've got this. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We've set up structures that help him, you know, like I dare say it's his first real leadership challenge.
Yeah.
This is a real big challenge for him because he's running a pretty big ship with a lot of staff and a lot of people that all have their opinions as well. So we make ourselves available to him in a coaching perspective. So he gets access to Ben or me at different times of the week on the phone or in a meeting.
Yeah.
But I think for us, the more involved we were, probably the more chaotic things became.
Well, that's the same even with me. Like we've got the other podcast, You to You, You to Me, You to Us, which is a sexual health podcast and if you're listening and you like podcasts and you want to learn about sexual health and reproductive health, so we produce that in the background. Now, the problem, the exact same thing, Chris, like it goes out on Monday morning.
Yeah.
I said, oh, no, I'll take care of this one. And, you know, I still like being involved in the editing. Why am I up at 10:30 on a Sunday night editing up? Like, it just, if I get involved, I break stuff because my thing is the vision of all that we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And both of us have learned that we've both done our season as operations manager in our company.
Yeah.
Right. There was a time when I was accountable to Ben.
Yeah.
As this is when things need to be delivered by. Then there was a time where Ben gave that position to me.
Right.
Right. And said, you need to make, you're responsible for everything being delivered, all the products we do delivered.
Yeah.
And now we've given that to Justin. And so for us having, it actually makes us way more intentional to go, what's the time we've got with Justin? Because we need to let him run the business.
Yeah.
Right. We can't just hang out and have coffees and lattes and have meetings all day.
Yeah.
We need to be like, well, this is an hour long meeting. This is what it's about. These are what we want to do. And let's see you next week.
Yeah.
And I think it's really streamlined.
Just not see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, and I think we talk, if we go to the cash flow quadrant by Kiyosaki, in the left hand side, we've got self employed. The right hand side, we've got entrepreneur, business owner. You've created a system where you don't necessarily have to be there every day for it to run. And it actually runs better when you're not there, which is the true model. So we're looking on the business or working on the business, not being in it.
Yeah.
In the if you had your time again, would you groom a Justin 3 years out and say, look, this is what where we're going to take it? Or did you do that? Or how does that work?
Justin's always been a slow burn.
Yeah. That's probably a combination for us of a little from column A, little from column B.
Mm.
You know, so yeah, we have been working with Justin for a long period of time. Would we have done it sooner? If we could have, definitely. I think, you know, it's a process. It's a time thing. And we've actually, like Chris and I have been able to have operate our business with pretty much hands off for a long time now, which has been really interesting for people that are in small business.
Yeah.
And they go, well, where can I find you? You know, like, where do you normally work? We used to get that question a lot. Like, are you in the cafes? You know, that, like, which cafe do you at? Because whenever I'm there, you're not there. I'm like, I don't work in the cafes. And you might find me over at head office, but I'm not there doing a physical job. And I think, you know, well, like a hands-on
mystical
job.
Unicorn.
Yeah, I reckon it's funny. I was just thinking, like, as, you know, we're all here self-employed. For me, it's actually been more of an issue to let go of the habit of I've got a habit of rocking up and doing X because if I do X, it means I'm doing Y.
Mm. Yeah.
And I've got to go, I've got to get out of that habit.
And you feel like you should.
Yes.
You know, and as a business guilt. Owner, you're like, I should be here more often.
Yeah.
Well, I challenge that. You know, like,
yeah, totally.
Like, do you need to be, or are there COVID. More important places that you are?
COVID, okay, COVID's really challenged me in this.
COVID's been a big reset button for so many businesses.
Yeah.
So,
totally.
I guess, COVID, what have you learned as a business that you can keep coming out of it?
For me, I had to isolate for certain reasons. This is like, this is probably the 10th time I've been out since COVID, right? Like,
we've barely seen each other except on a screen.
It was funny. We had a meeting the other day and Ben was like, hey, it's good to see you. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's been like 8 weeks. And I had to isolate for different reasons with our daughter with congenital heart disease and also then with twins on the way. Mm. There was some really tight restrictions about, I want to be able to hold my twins, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be like, sorry. So I was isolating and that's been, but also to see the business run like without my regular scheduled appointments that I rock up and this happens.
Yeah.
That I think has really changed our perspective. And for me, it's a, something that we like to carry into our business. We've always said coffee and people
is what
our company is. You can sum us up as if we like anything more than coffee, it's people.
Yeah.
And we've tried to do that the way we staff people. We've got a propensity to, be friendly, even though sometimes I've got a short fuse.
Oh, you're still very friendly.
We're
a
friendly family.
He's a warm fella.
And friendly fuse.
Yeah.
Rather than just having transactional situations where I rock up and do the books, I rock up and pay the bills and I check my eye over the warehouse. Is there something I should speak to Justin about? Rather than doing that, I can actually go, well, let's have a meeting about those things quite efficiently, streamline that. And then actually I can spend an hour on the phone with Justin over the week, seeing how he's going.
Yeah.
Right. And the same for our customers. Like, we don't want it to just be you order the coffee, you get the coffee. Right. And so looking at things like, how do we freight the coffee to people? How do we do things some things efficiently?
Yeah.
So that then Justin or one of our cool staff can actually go sit down with one of our customers, shout them lunch, buy them, you know, go to the relationship side of things.
Yeah. A question on that. So you've you used to have one of your team members deliver coffee, you know, within an hour, I guess, distance from where the roaster is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And COVID hit and now you're shipping all your coffee even 10 minutes down the road, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will you go back to shipping as in delivery?
It's going to change. Yeah. Like the way that we do things is going to change.
Yeah.
And that's probably all I can tell you at the moment.
Yeah.
What I would say is that we're going to spend more time focusing on the quality of relationship with our customer.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
So if I'm hearing you right, you're not saying we send a staff member to drop off the coffee, they have a superficial chat and then leave. So the relationship isn't with the delivery person that works at the coffee. So you'll be somehow more intentional.
Yeah.
Yes.
With your customers.
With our relationship.
Yes
managers.
And yes. We will always jump in. Like, look, you use a third party and inevitably something will go wrong.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. And so for us, still with that hour drive from our warehouse, I remember one time the delivery company made a mistake. They can remain nameless. Mm. And that was to the customer in Armidale.
Mm.
Right. And it was wild. It was Friday afternoon.
And you can't zip in an 8-hour drive and drop something off.
No, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Well, for us, it's like, hey, he has to, in Armidale now, source coffee from elsewhere because he is out. Mm. Like, he is out, right? It should have been delivered on Thursday. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Friday afternoon, I just threw Beth and I think River at that point in the car. And we go to Armidale.
Yeah.
So, we're always the final resort in our business. And I think that's what we're looking at is to go, well, why don't we trust the third parties a bit more, knowing that we've got the back end and the backup and the team to be able to go, if there's ever a problem,
we're pulling the trigger.
We're going to take care of it.
Which is a great attitude to have because a lot of businesses wouldn't go that extra mile. But we're not talking a 500-gram bag either. It's a customer that's running a cafe,
absolutely. Yeah, it's like 40 kilos of coffee a week.
Which is their core business.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what?
And we take that seriously.
Yeah.
You know, like we
100% always
and we do have, you know, there's recommendations that we put in place to make sure that people never run out of coffee that are our customers. You know, like there's some sensible ways you can do that. But at the end of the day, they're only that's only advice. It's not the rules. Mm. Some customers do run out. And when that happens, then we, you know, like our job is to make sure they get that coffee and they're looked after and they feel like they can trust us and they can rely on us even in an emergency.
Mm. So. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Even like you asked the question about COVID, I think in this downtime, what I've experienced is we're questioning a lot more things now. Like we were drinking coffee here, now we might drink coffee elsewhere because we've got more time or they weren't open for various reasons. So we're maybe questioning all the things that we're doing. So to have that customer service and that, I suppose, goodwill that I've driven to Armidale for this customer means that maybe I've got them for the next 10 years if I continue to service well.
Yeah. Well, you know, our drop-off rate in terms of wholesale customers.
Like retention.
It's very, we have a very minimal backdoor fallout, you know.
Mm.
And that does have to do with the business model that we had with people delivering and showing up every week. So we've had to take that into consideration with COVID and moving forward, how do we still do that without maybe having to rely on that weekly
touch point.
Yeah.
And we made it a point as we were startup businesses ourselves. I remember the week that we were in partnership with another company to start off with and didn't work out at that season. We're really good friends now. But I remember that season when the first week when we were on our own.
Yeah.
Like it was actually just Ben and I.
Yeah.
And we had $500 left in the bank. And it was like, okay, we've got a lot of orders. Mm-hmm. People want our orders, but we've got no coffee left. So we had to source coffee and someone had to take a punt on us. Yeah. Like one of the green bean providers had to take a risk on Ben and I. And since then, it paid off well. But since then, we have always had a propensity to work with startups.
Yeah.
And so for us, we've never been aggressive in our approach of, you know, dog eat dog, I want to take this person's, another coffee roaster's business.
Yeah.
It actually took us a long time to ever want to approach anyone that was already working with another great coffee roaster, we're like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And so.
And we're not great at that.
We're terrible at that. Like, I would walk in to do a sales call and try it out because we needed bread on the table. I'd walk in and be like, oh, so you use that coffee roaster? They're great.
They're great. I know those guys.
Encourage them to stay where they are.
Exactly. Forget I said anything. If you're happy, I'm happy.
If you're happy, I'm happy. See you later.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because I had the same thing, you know, in financial planning. Someone rock in and, oh, we did this through old mate down the road. I'm like, oh, you've done a really good job. I wouldn't touch anything.
Yeah.
But I think as a business owner, people aren't going to another roaster. Mm. They're leaving you.
Yes.
Mm. That's right.
So how do we keep that? Like, people weren't going to a financial advisor that wasn't Glenn James if they were a client of mine. They left me for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Whether it's we just didn't click on a relationship level. Yep. If we didn't, I might have dropped the ball and not known it and offended them. So I think it's important. Like, governments don't win elections, the other one loses it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's funny. And to the contrary, same way. Like, if someone's not happy with their beans, you've just simply got to ask the question and they'll tell you, won't they?
Yeah, oh, right? Absolutely.
So you're not actually stealing them, you're just facilitating the fact that they're not happy where they currently are.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think providing feedback, even just in our personal relationship, has been big for our business.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there was a time for us where it was like, we wouldn't really feed back. You just kind of read, how's Chris today?
Yeah.
How's Ben today? You know, maybe they'll be better tomorrow or worse, who knows? But providing feedback. It was even the other day we had in COVID, we had a Skype meeting.
Yeah.
Zoom. We had a Zoom or we had a FaceTime, whatever it was. And I was walking around the block and we're talking operations and what are we doing and this and that. How are we handling the staff in this time? And Ben's like, oh, well, Ben's got a podcast.
Yeah.
And Ben's like, I'm going to get this person to help me in the podcast. And I'm like, whoa, like, hang on. And so we had this funny little chat and I was like, oh, it shocked me, right?
Mm.
And then I said, oh, really? What's the go with that? And we finished the meeting a bit later and Ben called me up and said, hey, like, what was the go with that? Like, you just kind of called me out, like, in the meeting. And I'm like, oh, sorry, you shocked me. And it was actually to be able to have this feedback with us, I think that's it, where I said, okay, I'm really sorry for jumping you out, but understand the last time we talked about that was we were on a different page and now we're on a new page.
And I guess just on that, have there ever been times in finishing, I'll ask this question, then I want to ask about business structures, where either of you have pulled the trigger on a decision in the business that should have had a bit of consult from the other side?
Has there been a decision that we made simultaneously?
I don't know. Stacks. Stacks.
Like, have you ever rocked up and there's been a new bit of equipment?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, we're doing that, are we?
Yeah.
That would be me. I'm the shopper. I'm the shopper.
Yeah.
Right. I'm the guy that always goes and buys stuff we shouldn't buy.
It's, look, we are better at it. And I would say big decisions, we mostly consult each other.
Yeah, we do now.
You know, it's, and we've had to learn the hard way.
Oh, my
you
God.
You know, like, We own our mistakes, like and that's one thing that Chris and I are always, I think, actually really good at is just going, no, like, that was my call and that was the wrong call, you know.
Yeah, and I think that maybe comes back to family as well, doesn't it? You've grown up with the same values, so that helps in a business relationship.
Our parents taught us how to apologize.
Yeah.
If we were having a fight, someone did something wrong, you'd have to apologize.
Yeah.
And then you would have to hug each other. Then you'd have to tell each other that you love them.
Yeah.
Right? That was the, and so I think it was kind of ingrained in us that, hey, make sure you own your mistake and make up. Kiss and make up.
Mm. So,
just without the kissing part, just so everyone's clear.
Last kind of question. When the kind of Mark One of the company started, it was running through Ben's family trust.
Yes.
And I guess Ben was on the hook for everything and Chris was a beneficiary of the trust.
Yep.
How is it set up at the moment?
Well, you'd probably know.
It's a leading question. What can I say?
But you know, the way that it got to a point where I think it was you actually that spoke to us and said, hey, you know what, guys,
He knew it was him. Yeah. Right, by the way, it was a loaded gun.
Not my first rodeo, Johnny.
plug. Plug, plug, plug.
That's my second one. Second radio.
We'd be lost without you.
Yeah. Thanks, yeah. Delta.
And that's what he wanted to hear. Yeah, he doesn't give a bugger about your new structure.
No.
Okay, well, thanks for coming in.
And Chris might know more than I do about this, but basically you said you need to kind of grow up a little bit and business maturity wise. So for Chris and I, like you said, neither of us have a business background. We're guys that have just, you know, creatives with a bit of vision and a bit of fun that have had to learn how to do that. So it's been great to have friends like you and other people that kind of have a bit of input on that side. Mm. So yeah, we did restructure a couple of years back, going from a basically separating all the different entities of our business.
So basically my kind of vibe was everything was running out of Ben's single entity.
Yep.
So we had...
We had a family trust, and I was a beneficiary of that and a director of the trust.
Right.
And then we had to... then the company Ben was the sole director of.
Yeah.
Okay. So a bit of asset protection.
Little things like... So I guess fast forward now...
Yeah,
both of them have their own family trusts that owns the roasting entity and the retail one.
Yes.
So it's kind of, if you put it out on a board, everything separate, so you can mix, match, whatever, carve things out.
Yeah, which is good.
Asset protection throughout 100%. The entities.
Yeah. We were pretty exposed for a while there, and our accountant and you would also remind us of that regularly.
Yeah.
I remember every year we'd do our report from our accountant, and he'd say, "Now, when are we going to change this?"
Yeah.
And you go, "Well, what's the problem? Like, we're doing all right. We had a good year."
Yeah.
And he goes, "No, if someone slips into one of your stores, slips over in one of your stores, the whole ship goes down."
Yeah.
Deck of cards gone.
You know, so we had to grow up, as Ben said.
Yeah.
And it's never fun having to pay someone to do something that seems completely invisible, right? Like, nothing.
But at the
changed.
Same time, it's better. It's better them doing it than me or you.
Yeah. Right. Totally.
I'd have a red hot go.
Yeah.
We might leave it there. Ben, you've just started a podcast as well called That Coffee Show.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Quick plug.
Yeah. So That Coffee Show is, there's just something in it for everybody, I think. Anybody that loves coffee, have a listen.
Or if you like podcasts and interesting stuff.
Yeah. We the whole idea is that we have fun, you know. We don't take coffee too seriously, but we take it seriously enough.
Mm.
But the whole idea is that we just have fun drinking coffee and talking to people that love coffee.
Great.
Cool. So it's short and sharp, isn't it? What's the...
Yeah. I mean, you know, any of the episodes are anywhere from 15 minutes up to 30 minutes. So,
yeah, really good.
You know.
So, John, have you heard of podcasts, John?
Just recently.
Yeah.
Sounds like you've taken a listen, Chris.
I have had a few listens.
Yeah.
I do like the podcast on the drive.
Yes.
Love it.
Nothing better, really.
Yeah.
Again, jump onto gleecoffee.com.au, use the promo code MMM, and get this delicious goodness.
Yes.
Golden Bean Award winning
ray of sunshine.
Roast for $25 until the end of June. Limited time only. If you're listening to this podcast in September 2020, too late. You'll have to use the code M3 for 15%.
We've been seeing
off.
M3 codes come through.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. Look, we love My Millennial Money. It's in doing that code early on. Maybe we should have like capped it, but I love seeing M3 community coming through and purchasing our coffee because we're part of the M3 community as well, and it's a lot of fun. And it's actually a really good discount. Like, if you're always getting 15% off your coffee, good on you.
Yeah, well,
I wish
done
I
you.
Could.
Yes. Yeah, love it.
Nah, for sure.
All right, Chris and Ben, Glee Coffee Roasters. Bye bye.
See you.
See you, lads.
If you're after personal financial advice, this podcast is not for you. But if you do want a financial advisor or mortgage broker to talk with about your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click Get Help, and we'll put you in touch with one of our trusted professionals.
This podcast supports A21, a charity focused on abolishing slavery and human trafficking all over the world. Check out a21.org.au for more info. If you want some other giving options, or if you are unsure about which charity you can support, head to thelifeyoucansave.org.au.
Thanks to Jess Knaus, producer, Nathan Robertson, editor, and me, Asher. Anyway, make sure you're connected via Instagram and our free Facebook group. We also film most of our content now, so check out My Millennial Money on YouTube.